You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO, at 102.7 FM.
No strike yet, but the Canada Post Corporation is pushing hard for major concessions by the postal workers, and this may well be the first major countrywide labor battle since Harper won his majority in Parliament. What are the issues? What are the stakes? To explore these questions, I'm joined on the phone by Cindy McCallum-Miller. Cindy is a proud postal worker in Castlegar, BC. Good morning, Cindy, and welcome to Vancouver Cooperative Radio.
Good morning, Manuel. It's nice to be here.
To start, I understand there's a bit of a myth that there's a lot of postal strikes, but that's not actually true. When was the last postal strike?
Well, the last national postal strike was in 1997, so that's quite a while ago. And it is interesting that, you know, people have this image that, postal workers are always on strike and they're always on strike for money, when that's, you know, quite far from the truth. So 1997 was quite a while ago.
Indeed. I mean, you do see people outside sometimes picketing and stuff. Just, I think last year there were people outside, so they are somewhat militant, yes.
Oh, absolutely. And quite often when you see people outside with information, those are information pickets.
Right.
Usually to raise public awareness of what major issues we're dealing with, because we pretty much consider ourselves the guardian of the Postal Service to protect the public service. And quite often it's really difficult to get information out in a tangible way for the public to understand what's happening behind the scenes. So quite often postal workers will take that opportunity, set up information picket lines. In some cases, for example, last November, we had postal workers in Winnipeg walk off the job for a day based on protest of some really unconscionable actions by management. And so from time to time, we will have those isolated incidents. But yeah, we haven't had a national strike for 14 years.
Now, in terms of this potentially upcoming strike, how long have the negotiations been going on for the contract?
Well, they started in October. Usually, traditionally, we start at least 3 months prior to the expiration of the collective agreement, and it expired at the end of January 2011. So negotiations, they actually start earlier in terms of the internal process of our union. Because we are a democratic organization, we spend several months prior to starting negotiations in developing a program of demands that the members have input into through developing resolutions and also vote on prior to them being proposed to the corporation. So the process actually started probably this time last year, but the actual formal negotiations process started in October.
And what concessions are management at Canada Post demanding from you?
Well, you know, in some cases what they want to do is to gut the collective agreement. I mean, we have a fairly significant collective agreement, negotiated through years of struggle. And what they want to do, and what they started doing right off the bat, which I thought was quite different this time from previous round, they wanted to try and divide the membership from our own demands by putting into play this this theme of some things have to change so others don't have to. And what they were saying was, you know, we're not going to be too hard on the existing employees. What we want really are major concessions from the future employees. So don't even worry about them, because we're not going to attack you too much this time. And to me, that is the most absolutely offensive process that a company can entertain, because what they're saying is, you know what, why don't you just sell out this group of workers who will be working next to you as soon as we sign the collective agreement? And you don't build solidarity that way, and you don't protect your existing benefits by selling out a future group of workers. So it's been a very a very different approach by the corporation this time, and I find it more offensive than ever before.
And how are they proposing to do this?
Well, there's a couple of major things. First of all, let me put it into context. Canada Post has decided that they're going to modernize the post office, which we have no objections to modernizing the post office as long as it's going to provide good service for all Canadians and expanded and improved service for all Canadians. But that's really not what they have in mind. What they're planning on doing is spending $2 billion on introducing new equipment, on changing the work methods and introducing a very unsafe method of delivery for letter carriers. And the other part of it is a cheap labor strategy for new hires. So what they've done is they've proposed to us that the employees who are hired after the signing of the collective agreement start at basically $5 an hour less than us and take 7 years in order to have enough increments to meet the maximum wage, which that's absolutely ridiculous. And so basically what they're telling me is that they want to pay for their modern post on the backs of the future generation of workers at Canada Post, and totally not acceptable.
And how is the union responding to these kinds of demands?
Proud of the union in standing up and saying we don't allow that kind of division between our membership. It's quite tempting sometimes to just sort of look at your own situation and say, well, as long as I'm going to be all right. I mean, that's a normal process for people to look at. And so the union has been very strong in saying, you know what, as long as one worker is attacked, all workers are attacked. As long as the employer is able to gut the collective agreement for one group of workers, who says that the rest are safe? And I'm really, really proud of the union's very strong stance in standing up to that kind of divisive tactic by the employer. The other major issue for all of the employees at Canada Post that are covered by the Urban Bargaining Unit is the erosion of a benefit that we've had for, well, at least 30 years. I've been at Canada Post for 29 years, and so it was established at that point. And that is the way we handle our paid sick leave. So at the present time, we have a system where we accumulate and earn credits every month that we can use if we are off sick, in order to not lose income. And what Canada Post wants to do, and they're very, very strong on this, and they've shoved this down the throats of other bargaining units within the corporation already, so we're sort of the last stand on this one, is to put forward a short-term disability program, an STD, and that obviously that anachronism has all sorts of meanings, but what they announced 2 days ago was that their STD program will be controlled now, instead of by Manulife, by a combination of Great West Life and Morneau-Shepell. So basically, what this means for us is a huge rollback, because at the current time, if we have sick leave credits that we've already accumulated, we can use those when we need them. So if I have the flu, I don't have to go in and infect my coworkers. If I have an attack of bursitis, I don't have to worry about whether or not I'm going to be able to pay my rent or feed my kids as a result of not being able to work. What the STD proposal is that we would have to be off work for 8 days in order for it to kick in, and it would only kick in at 70% of our earnings, and only if the disability insurance provider thinks that we're really sick. So there's this dispute between our physicians who are there to care for our health and the disability provider who's there to care for Canada Post's profits. And we've seen already with the imposition of this program on several of the other bargaining units within Canada Post a huge invasion in medical privacy and real difficulty in trying to meet the demands that are placed on sick workers by this disability provider to provide information, unreasonable approaches. If you don't get the information in the format that they want, in the time frame that they want, you're deemed to be non-cooperative and subject to discipline. So it's a real attack on workers who want to be able to protect their health and safety. And it's just such an enormous rollback that I cannot, as a worker at Canada Post, accept that.
I know while Harper had a minority, he was able to push through some of his agenda, and of course this is part of his broader agenda to cut public services and increase privatization.
Mm-hmm.
But he was able to do something in relation to mail delivery services during the last parliament. Can you explain that for us?
Sure. What he was able to do, because first of all, there have been, by the right wing think tanks and by the corporation themselves, all sorts of, they put out feelers to the public to see what the attitude towards the post office is. And they're always constantly surprised to find that the public does, in fact, support a national postal system. You know, there's problems with it, but overall, the public is still supportive of Canada Post. And so they're hesitant to try and overtly privatize it, but what they want to do is chip away at it, chip away at the outside. So over the last couple of years, one of the things that they were able to do was to deregulate part of the exclusive privilege. The exclusive privilege that Canada Post has under the Canada Post Act, it deals just specifically with letter mail. And so what they were able to do was, under the auspices of the last budget, or two budgets ago, time goes by pretty quickly for me these days, was to slide in the ability for companies to remail. So basically what a big mailer can do in Canada is ship their volume of mail that's to be delivered in Canada to another country that has less postal rates, and then remail it back into the country. So it bypasses the exclusive privilege of Canada Post. And so when you chip away at fundamental parts of the postal service, what you do is you start chipping away at the profitable aspects of it, so that at one point in time, when they finally, you know, now that he has a majority, who knows what he's going to attempt to do with this Crown Corporation and others, I'm concerned about all of them, quite frankly, is, you know, he'll be able to take those aspects of it and carve it off. So that's all he was able to do with a minority government, but that was significant in itself because it's, you know, millions of dollars of revenue for Canada Post that goes to offset other services for Canadians.
We've just got about a minute left here, and I just quickly want to ask the what challenges the postal union faces in terms of organizing against the government in this battle.
It's a big challenge. We're going to need all of our allies. We're going to need the labor movement to, and they have made declarations of support, so we're going to need them to actually put that support in a tangible form. We're going to need our supporters in communities, NGOs, and all of the people that we've been in solidarity with. We're going to need them at our side because this is the amazing battle. It's going to change the face of not only the post office, but workers' rights. If they're able to get concessions against us and create an exploited workforce within a unionized workforce, then they're going to go after everyone else. So I think that this is where we draw the line.
Okay. Well, thanks very much for joining us today.
No, it's my pleasure. Thanks for calling.
I've been speaking with Cindy McCallum-Miller, a proud postal worker in Castlegar, BC.